This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Megan.
Yes?
You always sound like you're surprised when I say that, as if we haven't just spoken about the fact that we're recording a podcast.
My bad.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm actually quite good. I'd say on a scale of 0 to 10, I'm at around a 6.5 today. So there's been better days. There's been worse days. But I've actually just gotten a book through the post, and if I'm being honest, I'm usually not very excited about receiving books. I don't read very much. But this is a book I've actually paid money for. So
okay.
It's a book I'm excited about. And I've not been told to plug this. I just thought that I should mention this on the radio, because this is actually one of the things that inspired me for this podcast. And it's about autobiography, not really even. It's more like a memoir from Bobby Bones, who's like a country radio presenter in your homeland of America. And it's his first book. He's got a new book coming out soon. So I just thought I'd order his first book secondhand on Amazon. Took nearly a month to arrive. I was like, I've never known anything to take nearly a month to arrive in 2018. But yeah, so I'm excited about that. What are you excited about in life?
I'm pretty excited. I'm going on vacation tomorrow.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Washington, D.C.
That is cool. What, just for... I was going to say for Easter, but not even.
So, we do a girls' trip every year, and for some odd reason this year, they decided that we were going to go to D.C. this year. So, there's a select few of us in my family going. So, last year, we went to Nashville, and this year, you know, as mentioned, we're going to D.C., so it'll be interesting, because my one cousin just inherited a new stepdaughter, and the stepdaughter is coming with us, so it'll be interesting.
What do you mean, just inherited a new step? I've actually never heard the phrase stepdaughter and, like, somebody has inherited one before.
So I think that's just, like, a thing that we say here in the Midwest of America. It's just, like, when you, like, receive something new or something, like, I don't know, like, a person in your life or... like, when somebody passes away, like, you inherit something. And then, but we also kind of use that in the setting of when something new comes in your life as well. So, she's getting married, and she's getting a stepdaughter.
There we go.
So,
how exciting.
She's inheriting her.
Yeah, so, I see what you mean now.
Yeah, so she's coming with us, and we're really excited. She's almost 12 years old. And I don't think she's really ever been on a family vacation with any of us yet. So it'll be really interesting to see if she's going to actually enjoy it or not.
Yeah. And you mean interesting in a different way to how I would mean interesting. We know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, talking about inheriting, The World last week inherited a brand new album from our first artist on today's podcast. Kacey Musgraves' brand new album came out, called Golden Hour. And the first song is my first song. It's Slow Burn.
I'm all right.
What I love about Slow Burn is that it's such a cool, smooth... I always think of Kacey Musgraves as, like, the Lana Del Rey of country music. Like, very, like, sun-soaked would be the word. And really cool and very American, but like California American. This new song though, Slow Burn, opens up the album. I think it's a lot of people is like standing out as quite a popular album track. But to be honest, it kind of hits me from the get-go. It goes, born in a hurry, always late, haven't been early since 88. Texas is hot, I can be cold. Grandma cried when I pissed my nose even. Good in a glass, good on green, good when you're putting your hands all over me. So it's kind of quite autobiographical in that sense. And she speaks a lot about like how her life has changed. But what I quite like about this song is I think it plays on two things. Firstly, the title Slow Burn refers to the fact of, you know, when you look back at your past, it feels like it's so, everything happened so quickly. Like, if we think back to the past, you know what, actually, yesterday I had some friends round who I did geography, like, they're called A-levels here in the UK, before you go to university. And we were, like, best friends, and we were called, like, our geography squad. And they came round, and we were talking about all of our memories. And, like, looking back, that feels like it went so quickly. But in the moment, it was a slow burn. Like, life moves at a certain pace, I feel like, when you're in the moment. But also, in this song in particular, she talks about, like, getting independence and carving out your own path. And I always feel like that's the slowest burn because, at least for me, I'm super impatient. And I'm like, if I know, like, what I want to do, where I want to be, I'm like, let's get there now. And actually, sometimes... you can't, I think I'm learning this as I get older. Sometimes you can't just go now. Like, sometimes it takes a minute.
Well, I think that's a really good, you know, situation to be in when it comes to this song. As I'm sitting here reading through the lyrics, it reminds me of times, like, in high school. Here in America, you're stuck in high school for 4 years, and you think it's the longest time of your life. And now it's just like, wow, high school flew by, even though when you were in the moment... it took forever.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine, actually, because in the UK, you're in secondary school for 5 years. And then sometimes your college is this, like, in your secondary school. So you can be there for, like, 7 years. And even that feels real. Like, I went to the same school for 7 years because my secondary school and my college were the same school. Mm-hmm. And I was with the same people for 7 years. And I remember back then it felt so slow. Like, it was just, life was just kind of happening. And, like, I couldn't wait to get out. And now I look back and I'm just like, wow, that went so quickly. Like, I remember, like, being, I can shut my eyes and so vividly remember being sat in class and thinking, oh my God, this lesson is never going to end. And honestly, sometimes the days and the weeks would feel so slow. Now I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I'm 20. I look like I'm 30. Like, it's mad. Like, it's really, yes. Do you, what emotion does high school, like, carry for you? Like, I asked this because I've been thinking a lot recently about the phrase, like, your high school days are your best days. I'm not sure I agree, but I'm interested in hearing your thoughts.
I don't agree with that either, because to me, it's like, when I think about high school, that was the worst 4 years of my life.
Why?
Just because it's just, here, we have to go through 7 classes a day. And it's just like, why did I need to know this in math? Why did we have to go through this in science class? And you have the popular kids, you have the nerds, you have the band geeks, the outcasts. And it's like, in the real world, you don't really have to worry about that problem. And it's like, I spent 4 years of my life trying to fit in, only to never see these people again.
Yeah, I think that's the same with a lot of life, though. Don't you think that, like, even at work, like, and actually in any social, situation, there are, like, popular people and not so popular people and, Yeah, I actually worked out. I think we had to do 6 classes a day. But then when we got to the last 2 years, which were essentially like the 2 years before you went to university, you only had, I think, 3 subjects that you studied. And then, so you only had like 4 classes a day, I think, on average. I don't really remember. Do you think that, what do you remember high school fondly?
I do. Just because I have a lot of pictures still from high school. So like when I look at them, I remember what happened on that day. So especially with only high school being only about 6 years away, I can still remember it fondly, but it's not necessarily something I think about all the time because it is technically something I don't want to remember, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I always feel like I still quite struggle with not thinking about high school. I think just because all of my friends are at university, so I get reminded quite a lot. Like, I don't want to sound sad, but I'm, like, very fortunate that, like, I'm really busy and I have a really busy life.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of my friends are people from secondary school, so those are the memory, like, the best social memories that I have. But at the same time, it's been really interesting meeting new people. It's been interesting meeting new people, but it's been interesting finding out about people since we left high school and when mm-hmm. like what's happened in their lives. And I don't want to be mean, but some people peaked in high school. I'm fortunate that those people were not the people who were the nicest to me. So, yeah. Anyway, what's your song?
So we're going to start out with my one first song, which is going to be Legendary by The Somerset. I chose this song because every time I hear it, I kind of think back to the days where I was just straight up struggling with life. Basically, this song, which is sad because this band is actually not together anymore, but they did release some really good songs, so I chose Legendary. My favorite line in this entire song is was like, I've spent too many nights watching How I Met Your Mother alone. Now I'm searching for my yellow umbrella. Oh, then I'll take her home. And it's just like, I just want to be legendary. Yeah, we all just want to be legendaries to somebody. And I like this line because after I got out of a really nasty relationship, I spent a lot of time binge watching Netflix, wanting to figure out who I was as a person at the same time. And that's what I think about every single time I listen to the song. And even though I've only watched a handful of How I Met Your Mother episodes, I get the line where he's talking about wanting to find your yellow umbrella because that's how the dad in that TV show finds the mom. And it's just like, someday, like, I will find my yellow umbrella and it's going to be much better than the horrible relationship I was in that I was trying to get over.
Yeah. Do you think, like, this is a purely out of interest question, but when you have a really horrible breakup, can you still think back to that that relationship fondly?
I can, especially if it's like just like freshly happened. But there's a lot of relationships that I've been in. Now, if you would ask me about one of them, I probably couldn't tell you very much about it. But if it's like a most recent breakup, I can still tell you everything about the relationship.
Why is that? Why do you like forget?
Because especially if they ended in a really bad way, I don't necessarily want to think about those situations. So I kind of like shove it to the back of my brain. And that's one thing I do with a lot of things. Like it's almost like, have you ever heard the joke where people say that they have selective hearing?
Yeah.
That's how I am with my memories. I have selective memories that I would like to remember and some of them that I purposely forget for a reason.
I see. But then, okay. Jay, as we've nicknamed him. Mm-hmm. Sorry for bringing it back. If people want to know more about Jay, you can listen back to the first episode of this podcast. So Jay was a liar. And obviously you found out that he was a really big liar and that's what ended the relationship. That's relatively fresh, which is why I'm asking you about it.
Yeah.
You had really nice memories with him though. You had nice moments with him before you realize that the whole relationship was a lie. How do you think about those memories?
I think about them kind of with a grain of salt. It's just like sometimes if somebody like is like talking to me about something, I'll be like, oh yeah, I did that with Jay. Or like, for the best example I can use is, I'm a huge fan of the Marvel comics, and obviously Infinity War is coming out in like 2 weeks, and everyone around me is talking about it. We're all talking about how we're watching the movies in order, and somebody was talking to me about Thor Ragnarok, and I was just like, oh yeah, I was like, I went and saw that movie in theaters with Jay. I really loved it, and I was like, I remember during the movie, like, there were some jokes I didn't get, but he was telling me what they meant because he was a big fan of the actual comics themselves. And I say it in the like a respectful way, even though I want to punch him in the face half the time.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right. I mean, I like this song as well. Like, I do think that we, like, obviously we all want to be the superheroes of our own stories. Well, I guess we all are the superheroes of our own stories.
Mm-hmm.
In a way. And I quite like that idea of actually, like, you have to work for it a bit. Like, you have to be cool and spontaneous and, you know, put in effort. I always think that that's really something that as, like, teenagers or children, you're not taught very well. It's about, it's mm-hmm. actually about putting effort in life because, like, you, all the way up until you're 18 years old, and even if you go to university later, every, like, really a lot of things are so easy, like social arrangements and you know, living is so easy. Then when your situation changes, like you go to work and you're not with all your friends every day, or you move out of home or something, you realize just how much of an effort you have to put in just mm-hmm. just for anything to happen. It's tiring. Like, my friends didn't understand, like, it's tiring setting up a arrangement mm-hmm. with somebody, because it's always like, so it's, you know, you don't just have friends around you the whole time because you're working and you live a busy life and you're running between meetings and going to screenings or whatever and recording radio shows. So everything takes effort. I always felt like, yeah. And I think that's what this song, at least to me, says as well.
Yeah, if you ever get the chance to watch the music video, you'll notice that it basically starts out with what it was like when he was a little boy and how life seemed so easy and everything was magical. And then once he started growing up, it's like, wow, life isn't as great as we all think it is. And he mentions, you know, about watching TV by himself, about how he used to date actresses, and how he's like, oh gosh, that was the dumbest decision I've ever made. And it's true. This is literally based on his life, because he did date many actresses before he wrote this song. And he actually has, funny enough, two songs that are written about actresses. If you ever looked them up, they have a song called Chelsea, and that's about Chelsea Staub, or she goes now as Chelsea Kane. And ironically enough, she's also linked with the person in my second song, now that I think about it. But yeah, I get where you're coming from on your point of view on this song, because it is kind of talking about how much easier life was as a kid, and that's really not cracked out to be as what we thought when we were little.
Wow, today's a positive podcast, guys. Today's podcast is brought to you by happiness. My second song, then, I love this song. It's stuck in my head right now. It's God Bless This Mess by Jillian Jacqueline. God bless this mess. This is as good as it's gonna get. I'm gonna hold you like I know it's gonna be okay again. I love this song. Actually, going back to the start of the podcast, Bobby Bones interviewed her, and that's how I discovered this song. It's a song about a couple of things. Firstly, it's about a relationship, but I don't know if you've noticed, but I've tried to not speak about any relationships, at least my own, on today's mm-hmm. episode, because this is becoming a bit like a relationship couple therapy. But also, this song is about just kind of living your life and realizing that not everything can be perfect, which again is something which, like, we all have to deal with. And I think it's something that, as I've grown older and wiser, I'd like to think, I've kind of had to come to terms with. So in verse one, it goes, here's to the brokens, the misfits and wannabes, the part of you that's just like me, the wallflowers and the holier than thous, to the diamonds that are never going to leave the rough, the rolling stones that are always stuck, the all-nighters and the lost I've never found. So that's all basically about saying, just here's to you being you. Here's to just situation and life as life is. Then the chorus, she goes, God bless this mess. If this is as good as it's going to get, I'm going to hold you like I know it's going to be okay again, which is kind of like being in a relationship and you, and going, you know, I think it's kind of a bit pessimistic. It's like, well, if you're the best I'm going to get, then let's go and do this, which I'm not quite. I'm still really hopeful, at least romantically, I feel. So I'm not sure how much I agree with that. But she goes, I got a hurricane in my heart, keeps on rattling the good apart. And honestly, I'm just an honest wreck, but I'm trying my best. God bless this mess. And what I love about this song is that it's firstly a really great song. And I know it's kind of country, but at the same time, it isn't really. I don't even know where to place this song in like the genre landscape. But any song at the moment, which is a nod and an acceptance of just life's messy. And the person that you think you're going to marry probably isn't the person you're going to. And you know what? Maybe nothing happened for a reason. Maybe it does. Who knows? There's so much things that we don't know that we might never know in our lives. Maybe it's just time that we embrace life as life is and realize that we can't have control over everything.
I think that's a really good point behind that song. And as I'm sitting here reading it, I have to like totally agree with it, just because, as mentioned before, we're not perfect. Like, we're not going to be this tip-top people, you know, that everyone expects you to be. So I think it's really cool when artists write songs like this that show you that if you're not perfect, if you think you're weird or you're a wannabe or an outcast, like, do you. It's perfectly fine to be this way.
Yeah. Also, you know what, actually? There's this new book. I did an interview today with an author called Juno Dawson. We're going to be talking about her book Clean on your show and on my show, actually, on air in a couple of weeks. But I interviewed her about this book Clean, which is about a girl who seemingly has, like, the perfect life. And she's, you know, like, she's an heiress, and like a socialite. Her name's Lexi. Her dad owns like a massive hotel chain, and she's got a really bad drug addiction. She ends up going to rehab. And one of the things when I was interviewing the author in this interview, which is coming out really soon, actually, it might already be out by the time this interview goes out, is that, you know what? Everybody has their issues. That's like what we were talking about, is that today with like social media, you could be fooled into thinking that some people are like normal. And I think that the whole time I look around this, like I'll be walking down the road, like a busy road, and I'll look around and I'll just go, everybody's so normal. Why aren't I this normal? And sometimes it takes a moment and maybe a song like this to realize that nobody is normal, because normal doesn't exist. And actually, it's not that you being abnormal is normal, but normality doesn't exist. Everybody is a rough diamond. Everybody's got bits that stick out and bits that stick in and things that aren't how you imagine them and things that are better than you imagine them. And everybody is a really complex character. And I feel like now that is, and when I mean now, I mean the era whereby everybody gets to choose a profile on the internet of how we want everybody to view us. Now, that is one of the most important things that we have to remember, because it's definitely something that I struggle with the whole time.
I definitely have to agree with that. Like, as mentioned, nobody is perfect and everyone's kind of out there. And it's like, you're going to struggle, you're going to have issues. And I mean, I know that I have issues sometimes. It's just like, oh, you know, like I wish life would be better. But then I realize, like, I'm like, I actually have a pretty good life. And even though, like, I have to overcome some struggles, like, everything is perfectly fine. And I'm really excited about the book Clean because, you know, I'm still, trying to finish the book. I did end up going out and buying it. And it's amazing that, like, so many people, even if you're completely wealthy, you're still going to have some imperfections in your life. And this whole book is just, like, really amazing. And I need everybody to go buy it and read it.
Yeah. I mean, not just that, though, but, like, I'd argue, actually, if you've got loads of money, you could have more issues than most.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as normal or perfect. And,
yeah.
And, yeah, there's... Yeah. Bringing it up to relationships for a second. Sorry, I couldn't keep it on an episode. Because one of the things I always think about you, Megan... Here we go. That's my accusational voice.
Of course.
is obviously, like, we all put our issues into perspective. But just as an example, you, like, something that we speak of, and I'm so happy we do speak so openly about on your show and on this podcast, is about your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that I notoriously struggle with, is just even getting in a relationship. And I sometimes think, like, you know what? Actually, some of the things you've been through have been awful, and you've been manipulated and lied to, and people are just not nice people.
Yeah.
But for context, I was on Tinder the other day, and there was somebody whose description who said, "I'm just a girl with a posh accent looking for a sugar daddy." I swiped on her, and we've still to this day not even matched. So how dare you? How dare you?
Aww.
So... Yeah, that's that. That's I mean, that's everywhere now that happens.
Tinder's the worst, though. Like, I hate that app.
It's not even like I went on there thinking to become someone's sugar daddy. I just thought, well, if there was ever,
shot,
and it didn't even. That's the saddest thing. And you know what? Everybody's gonna hear this now. And you know what? Make fun of me if you will, but that's my life. Anyway, on to Nick Jonas.
Okay, so this. Kind of like the perfect thing where we were talking about, because obviously this is a song, it is introducing me, and it is from Camp Rock 2.
If you want to know, here it goes, gonna tell you this part of me that shows, if we're close, gonna let you see everything, but remember that you asked for it. I'll try to do my best to impress, but it's easier to let you take a guess at the rest, but you want to hear what they
and relates to all the other songs, because basically the reason he wrote this song, at least like in the movie, is because he was trying to get this girl that he had a crush on, and she basically called him a cookie cutter pop star, saying that he's lame, like, oh, he basically just wants his money and he's just here for fame. And that's when he goes up to her and tells her his side of his story, things that people don't know about him. And that's why the song is technically called Introducing Me, because he tells her all about the quirky things he does.
And was that girl, like, Demi Lovato?
I can't remember what her name is. Oh, gosh. She was, like, the daughter of the guy from the rival camp. And, yeah, that's when she doesn't necessarily actually say the words cookie cutter pop star, but she basically, like, picks on him because he's a famous rock star at camp. And he basically tries to convince her that he's not as stuck up as she may think he is. And that's why he wrote her this song. And I just love this song. I love everything about Nick Jonas. I mean, the Jonas Brothers were probably my number one favorite band ever. And that's saying a lot, because I'm a huge fan of 5 Seconds of Summer. But, like, I was, like, that stereotypical fangirl when it came to the Jonas Brothers. My walls were plastered in their posters, and I went and saw them every time they came to town. And then when they, you know, even though I always made the jokes that my brothers can't break up, but they did break up, and they have their solo careers, and Nick was always my favorite. So I listen to his songs all the time, and when Introducing Me, like, shuffles on, I get super excited, because I just love this entire song. And my absolute favorite line in this entire song is when he says, "I eat cheese, but only on pizza, please, and sometimes on a homemade quesadilla. Otherwise, it smells like feet to me." And I totally have to.
I love how this song.
I hate cheese.
I love how last week went from Royals by Lords to Introducing Me by Nick Jonas with a line about quesadillas. It's versatile. That's what this podcast is. Versatile.
It really is. Because you have to be sometimes happy and quirky about things. So this is a really fun and quirky song where he just, like, tells her what he really is like. So, as mentioned, he talks about how he hates cheese, and he says how he loves that the moon looks like a toenail sometimes, and how he's like, I'll try to do my best to impress, but it's easier to let you take a guess at the rest. But you want to hear what lives in my brain? Will you ask for it for your pursuing? At times confusing, slightly amusing. Introducing me. He's like, basically, I'm a lot more than just this famous little rock star. So, I don't know. It's a fun song.
How would you introduce you, Megan? I feel like this is a nice way to end this episode.
So, basically, if someone was just like, so, like, what are you like? I'd be like, hey, so, my name is Megan. I'm a huge fan of Taylor Swift. I'll talk about her 24 hours, 7 days a week if needed. And then I would mention that I absolutely hate cheese on everything and I hate ketchup. I was like, if you even attempt to bring ketchup or tomatoes around me, we're going to have a problem. And I also don't like pizza.
I mean, that's a great...
I usually leave with that. I usually am just like, I don't like pizza. Please don't take me on a pizza date. I won't eat it.
But so did you just say that's how you lead?
Yeah, I would just be like, they're like, mostly I always get asked, I'm like, so what kind of like food do you like? And I'm like, I hate pizza.
Okay, well... I don't want to be mean, but that might explain some things.
Probably, but yeah. I get that all the time. They're like, how can you not like pizza? I don't like pizza because I don't like tomato sauce. I think tomato sauce is like the devil's work.
Do you think that means that the people you end up dating are more accommodating people in general? Or do you think they're just... I don't know what I think about people who don't like pizza. Like, that's a weird type of person.
Sorry, I don't think that's really... No, you're fine. I don't think it's ever like... you know, made or break any, like, relationships, but I definitely have gotten picked on for. They're just like, how can you not like pizza? I don't know, I just don't. Which is kind of ironic, because even though I hate tomato sauce and I can't stand ketchup, I love SpaghettiOs.
I feel like this is all a deal breaker for me. Everything you just said. I hate SpaghettiOs, love pizza.
Oh my gosh, I love SpaghettiOs.
We've just put a line through that one. Well, there we go then. Introducing Megan. thank you so much. I feel like today's podcast has been super weird.
It has been super weird, but we can't always be, you know, perfectionists. That's what we've learned.
That is what we've learned. Well, I mean, that was a great summary.
It really was.
Well, thank you very much, Megan. You're going away to DC, so have a great time in DC.
Thank you so much.
If you see a guy with like a big long red tie in like a suit with a lot of security around him, do what you need to do.
Right. I do have a White House touring on Saturday. I'll let you know how that went.
Thank you. All right, then. Well, this is it then. We'll be back next Monday with a brand new episode of Our Song.
Woo! Hope you guys enjoyed.